time of hope.
Pa, I can't tell you how much I've missed you.
A moment of sorrow.
I lost everything.
Missing.
I just don't understand.
We're not always meant to. A journey in faith.
Maybe we should try praying together.
That gave them a new beginning.
It's part of the trailer from a movie that's coming out, opening here in St. Louis on Friday, or it opened on Friday last week, called Love's Abiding Joy. It comes from 20th Century Fox's latest division called Fox Faith, and it has an explicitly religious theme to it. The story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch from Sunday: Hollywood is resurrecting religious themes. After years of ignoring or even mocking religion, Hollywood is re-examining faith in a more balanced light. We're joined here for the next half hour of Issues Etc. to discuss this story and Hollywood's tension with religious themes by Brian Gadawa. He's a screenwriter in Southern California and author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. Brian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be here, Todd.
Well,
good to talk to you again.
Has a new day dawned in Hollywood? is the premise of this story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch actually true, that Hollywood's ready now to take a balanced approach to matters of faith, or perhaps even Christianity itself?
Yes, there is a new day. Hollywood has realized there's money in them dar hills. Actually, I don't consider that to be a bad thing inherently anyway, but yeah, I do think that there is a new opening, and you see this with the faith-friendly divisions in various studios. You have Fox Faith, but you also have over in Sony, you have Provident Films, which is, and they have a division where they're trying to crank out some Christian movies too. Their first film that they released was The Second Chance by Christian filmmaker Steve Taylor. And their next film that's going to be out, it's out right now, is Facing the Giants, a football movie about a Christian high school and a Christian coach with Christian football players. And there are other, like New Line has, I think they have a division that they're trying to make some things that are more open to faith. And so they have this at several of the studios, and it really is happening. And I think that it is definitely a result of the Passion of the Christ. The studios have realized that there is this huge market of people, and if they're smart, they realize that a large portion of that saw the Passion of the Christ don't usually see movies, but because they responded to the religious content purely, they're now seeing, oh, this is an untapped niche market of filmgoers that we can get more than we're already seeing films, already seeing the normal films. And so they're seeing money in it, and they're trying it out.
Now, you said before that Hollywood looking at the bottom line and then saying, let's make some more faith-friendly films is not necessarily a bad thing.
Right, because we're always griping and complaining, why don't they make films for us? Why don't they make films for us? And, you know, the dominant motive of Hollywood industry is the profit motive. It's making money. And so if they see that certain kinds of movies will draw certain amounts of money, they'll make more of them. But they just need to be able to see that. And we've always griped and complained, provide more movies for us. Well, if the only way they'll do that if they see that we'll go to them and they'll make money. So in other words, yeah, the profit motive is the most dominant motive in Hollywood. Now, it's true that many writers, producers, and directors, people who make the content, are very driven by agenda, and they're going to continue to make those kind of films. But agenda-driven films or whatever. Yeah, there's a certain portion of the Hollywood studio system that really responds to money. So thus you have movies coming out like The Nativity Story, which is the story of Christ's birth. That's coming out from Fox, I think. You have Evan Almighty, which is the sequel to Bruce Almighty, which deals with man getting the powers of God and learning that he has to submit to God. You've got Paradise Lost, which is coming out. That's John Milton, who was a Puritan Christian. This is his epic, and it's being written and directed by a Christian. So he's the guy who made The Exorcism of Emily Rose. So there's good chance that that might be pretty good. Then you've got Prince Caspian coming out, which is the next in the series of Chronicles of Narnia. So there's a significant amount, as well as the one you mentioned, Love's Abiding Joy, there's a significant amount that really are coming out. And they're not all perfectly doctrinally correct. I mean, unfortunately, you know, with the way many Christians are in this world, if it doesn't fit their doctrine to a T, then they call it heresy, and that's a real tragedy. But, you know, it's not going to be perfect, but there'll be enough, you know, positive Christian sort of values or positive Christian elements that, you know, will support the values we've always been, you know, crying about. There's another side of it, though, and that is I think that these are people who have interaction with Christians in Hollywood, and so they have a better sense of what's going to sell. But there's also a large portion where they misunderstand the whole concept. They think, well, yeah, I'll do religious films, I'll do spiritual themes, and thus they'll put out the Da Vinci Code, thinking that that's about Jesus Christ. Well, it's about hating Jesus Christ. So, you know, unfortunately, that movie still made a gazillion dollars, but nonetheless, you've got movies coming out like Jesus Camp, which is a subversive undermining of evangelicalism, showing it sort of like darkly as through a documentary. Oh, you've got some other movies coming out like Conversations with God, which is really a New Age concept of God, not Christian at all. There was another movie that was also out recently, What Dreams May Come, was another New Age sort of view. The Celestine Prophecy, that's another movie that was made. So there's this contingent that doesn't get it, that thinks doing spiritual is what we want, and they don't realize, no, it's Christian that the dominant red state America is looking for. So there's a mixture of stuff going in there. We're just going to have to wade through it.
So are we watching, and I guess which would you prefer, non-Christians making faith-friendly movies or Christians rolling up their sleeves, learning how to make good films and finding their way into Hollywood and making good secular movies? Which would you prefer there?
Well, that's an interesting question. I really would say both. I really want both. So, but ideally, you do want Christians to be able to be affecting the content, because it will then most likely reflect the faith that we believe in. However, there's been many movies that have a lot of truth to them, not made by Christians. In fact, that's one of my big complaints, is sometimes in history you see some of the more powerful movies about Christian faith are made by non-Christians, and that's our problem. You know, not theirs, like Chariots of Fire. You know, that was made by non-Christians, and in fact, so was the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I'm sure there were many Christians involved in that project, but as far as I know, many of them weren't. So as far as I'm concerned, as long as it produces the values and the ideas that I agree with, but yeah, there are more and more Christians, I think, real Bible-believing type Christians who are getting involved in making these movies. Like I mentioned already, Paradise Lost, and there are other movies coming out as well. In fact, Fox Faith is the division that released my two movies, To End All Wars and The Visitation, which, you know, both of those have a Christian worldview to them, but they're not necessarily Christian-type movies, you know? So
I guess what I look for, and I don't know if this is a flash in the pan, I hope that it isn't, because I think the more Christians are involved in the arts at the highest caliber possible, not only the influence is good, but
yes,
there are Christians living within their vocation, exercising creativity, and benefiting, you know, generally as far as the arts can, benefiting everybody. But what I want is a realistic depiction of Christians.
Yes.
I don't want a movie that's going to be preachy and portray Christianity as merely just a morality, even a soft-served morality, or one that depicts Christians in kind of this syrupy, sweet, you know, very soft filter on the lens type of a way. Here's an example. This is maybe a terrible example, Brian, I don't know. Watching Saving Private Ryan last night, staying up way too late because it was on television. And if you remember, there's one character, the sniper in the film, who quotes scripture while he's blowing the Germans away.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself at the time, first of all, it's a brilliant character.
Yes.
But second of all, there probably were a lot of Christian guys like that.
Yes.
Who went into war, and when they were at those moments of crisis, when they're pulling the trigger, were saying their prayers or reciting the Lord's Prayer. And I thought to myself, you know, that's probably a pretty realistic picture of the Christian on the battlefield. That's what I want to see, Brian.
Yes, and that was made by non-Christians. And so, you know, I don't mind that. But yes, ideally we need more Christians. And unfortunately, oh, by the way, there's the new movie Flyboys, World War One airplane war movie, also has a Christian character similar to that Private Ryan one, only this Christian, he's a positive Christian character in the film, not negative. And while he's shooting down the Germans in planes, he's singing, "Onward, Christian soldiers," which really is sort of out of context, but nonetheless, it was still sort of clever, you know. But yeah, I agree with you on that. Unfortunately, some of the movies that these faith divisions are making, the downside is they don't want to put a lot of money because they want to see it work for them first. Consequently, they're taking product that's made by Christians that's lower budgeted, and consequently, a lot of that is the well-intentioned, but in my mind, sort of missing the boat type version of Christian faith on film, where they do feel they have to preach, they do feel they have to be, you know, it has to be totally focused around their Christian spirituality and their life, etc. And while I think there's a place for that, and I support those films, I think it's a small niche, and I think it ultimately doesn't connect with most people because it, like you say, it doesn't ring true to them. You said realistic, but I think what you meant is true, because you know, Lord of the Rings was not realistic, but it had a truthful worldview that I think was, and same thing with you know, Narnia. And that's really what we want, is we want truthfulness, and it needs to ring true. And unfortunately, movies like Facing the Giants, you know, it's, again, it's well intentioned, but it also sort of goes down that alleyway of ghetto Christianity, where it's all about trusting the Lord more, and if I could just learn to trust the Lord, and that's what the movie's sort of about, and shows him reading his Bible and preaching little sermons to his football players. You know, it's about a football player, a football coach in a Christian high school, sort of learning how to trust the Lord type of thing. And you know, I like I say, I went to the movie and I support it. And I, you know, because the more money that those movies make, the more movies like that will tend to be made, and we'll be able to get more money. So in other words, we're in a process of growth, and so you have to be tolerant of some of that. But at the same time, I'm sort of critical of it in that, it doesn't have a Christianity that rings true outside of a certain very small Southern, you know, Baptist type person, you know, who will go see that movie and pay the money, but it doesn't reach a broader crowd of people. So we need all of it, and it is increasing.
Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address for your questions and comments as we talk with Brian Gadawa about Sunday St. Louis Post-Dispatch story titled "Hollywood is Resurrecting Religious Themes, Issues, ETC. At kfuo.org. Brian Gadawa is a screenwriter in Southern California and author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. You're listening to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Chris writes from Carson City via the email this. He says, and you mentioned before The Second Chance, the film that I think you mentioned that in one of your first answers here.
Yeah.
He says, "I bought The Second Chance sight unseen. It was terrible. The whole movie was a baby boomer social gospel, where the gospel was reduced to washing everyone's feet, and it literally ended with a sit-in. I have no idea why there were all those crosses in the building, since they were blatantly ignored. I may as well have sent my money to Joel Osteen for his book. Anyways, I'm not getting my hopes up for these new movie divisions." That's Chris in Carson City, Nevada. Thanks for the email, Chris. Your reaction?
Yeah, I think that I partially agree with that, and that is the danger. But you got to have, problem is with business, you got to have a lot of, and particularly with Hollywood, you got to have a lot of bad before you get to the good. You know, these studios make you know hundreds of movies that are terrible and don't make money, because you never really know for those few great ones that do make the money. And sometimes we know, and I will agree, that the ones that make the biggest amount of money aren't necessarily the good movies or moral movies or whatever. So there's that whole, yeah, things aren't perfect and things are in flux. And I would also say that I've watched that movie and I would support seeing it. I would not go so far as to say that it's a mere social gospel. I think that the artist was basically making the point that we've reduced our Christianity to the reverse of the social gospel, that is, throwing our money at things from our rich little white churches in the suburbs. And I feel like I've been guilty of that. And I think it's very truthful that we need to get our hands dirty and get more socially involved with our gospel. And I think that that's what the story was really talking about. And not that I agree with everything in there, but my point is I think that's a good moral message. And so you've got those two pendulum swings in the faith. Christians will react based on their particular version of Christianity they react in, and cannot feel that they can learn something from another version of Christianity. And that's really what's sad about it, is we are so divisive because of our doctrinal peculiarities that it makes it a real hard market to reach, you know, and then that's why they tend to try to make it as non-offensive to as many, you know, broad people as possible. And then you get movies like Conversations with God, where there is no, you know, it's just a generic deity of something, you know. So it's going to be a mixture of good and bad. And the other thing that I want to add to that is that Hollywood goes in cycles. This might just be a window for a few years, and they might realize, oh, they get all these bad Christian movies, that they don't make enough money after all because Christians don't support and go to the movies like they thought they were going to, and then they might just get out of it. You know, sometimes that happens as well. I don't see that this is necessarily the change of Hollywood from within. It's a start. But we've got to uphold it, and the way we uphold it is by keeping up going to these movies and tolerating some of the ones that aren't quite as good, like Second Chance if you don't think it's as good, or, you know, Facing the Giants, but tolerating that, because the more that we do see it, the better they will get. That's the bottom line.
How could this initially go wrong? And I guess the one way I think that it could go wrong, and tell me if you think I'm right, because Hollywood really is, they have raised the bar so high on what we see on the screen, what we expect to see on the screen. What about something as simple as the production values? Christians have kind of been known in the kind of Christian ghetto film industry,
yeah,
of making the cheapest, most poorly lit, worst acted and worst written films in history, you know, straight to VHS kind of stuff that isn't even worth the plastic it's printed on.
Well, you know, that is true, and that's in my mind, that's the danger of what's going on now. These studios aren't willing to put the money in because they want to prove itself first, but then the problem is you're right, there gets a lack of quality of production values, and that's a real danger. However, the downside is, with the democratization of media, the accessibility of cameras, and good, if you do get a good storytelling, which we do have examples, like the movie made by the Mormon, Napoleon Dynamite, another movie was produced by a Christian man, My Date with Drew. Some of these movies, they can be poorly produced, but if they're great storytelling, they'll still make it through. So there's the upside in that if you really tell a good story, a couple million dollars for your budget, which is not much for making movies, or less, can still give you a really good movie. So you just have to make sure you have a great story. But it is true that we often have that stigma against us, you know. But don't forget, Hollywood is full of those movies, too. It's just that there's so many of them that there's also enough good ones that cancel them out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've got to ask you about this before we go, because technically this is the film genre, but it is not the big screen. It's not even the television screen. It's the computer screen. YouTube is, I guess, Google's getting ready to shell out what for them is a small amount of money, but for the rest of us is a lot of money, $1 billion or something like that, to buy YouTube. And if you're not familiar with YouTube,
yeah,
folks, it is the way your kids are watching film today, every day, on their iPods or on their computers. What do you think of the future of, and this is, some of this stuff is inane, some of it is nonsense, some of it is hilarious, some of it is actually good kind of indie film stuff.
Yeah, and obviously I do see, you know, it's the whole new media craze. I definitely see it growing, and, you know, movies on your iPod. You know, I don't care for that because I want to see a movie. I want it big. I want, you know, but it's obviously significant enough. And sure, I think right now YouTube is just pretty much just another launching platform for people who want to make movies, but they don't have the money. So if they make something good and small, they'll get picked up by somebody. You know, what was that one? Lonely Girl 15, you know, where it was just this well-acted little thing of a girl talking about her lonely life type of thing in her bedroom, and it just became this hit sensation, and now she's probably going to be in some sitcom soon, you know. So it becomes a launching pad for the, quote, real careers or whatever. But it might evolve into something more, you know. But bottom line is, though, if you can't make money off of your videos, you can't keep making them. So if there's got to be a way where people can make money off of that for it to matter, you know, beyond advertising. I mean, obviously the distributors of that material can advertise and make money, but the people who are making the content, for them to keep making it, they're gonna need some amount of money unless they're doing it in their spare time. But you know, who knows? It's a wide open field with a lot of unknowns connected to it.
Then finally, what have you seen either in the theaters or on DVD, or that has really caught your interest of late? What are you looking forward to seeing that's on its way out? Anything?
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, have you seen anything that you say, okay, I will go see that?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything. It's not that there isn't. It's just maybe blocked out of my mind. I love so many movies that I go see the trailers. I want to see them all because I love trailers.
You know, I'm kind of that way, too. When I go to see a movie, I'm more I don't know if they put heroin or something in the air when you're watching these things.
Yeah.
But I could sit and watch the trailers, I mean, the decent trailers, all day long. And then sometimes I'm profoundly disappointed when I actually see the movie it was the trailer for.
Yeah, trailers had the best. But some great movies I saw recently is The Wicker Man. That was with Nicolas Cage, and that was a really powerful story. I'm surprised it came out of Hollywood because it really shows the evil side of feminist, neo-pagan, Gaia Earth worship, you know, nature worship type religion. It shows that as evil, which is connected to matriarchal religion beliefs. And normally, Hollywood movies are anti-patriarchal. They're against, you know, religions where males are the spiritual heads in their families and such. So it was real shocking that movie got made, and very biblical in many ways. Also, you know, my big thing this last year has been the trilogy of 9/11 movies, which is the World Trade Center, which was just phenomenal about courage and heroism after the fact. United 93, which was our training manual for all Americans. We should all see that and learn from it. And then The Path to 9/11 by David Cunningham directed that on TV, but it'll probably be on DVD soon. And that was about the politics behind the 9/11, and it's very, very informative for Americans to see how it didn't come out of the blue. These evil terrorists have been working on this for many, many years trying to get at us. So those were really phenomenal movies that I've seen, you know, recently that I really liked. In terms of what I'm looking forward to, don't know.
Well, when you see it, we'll have you back on and talk about it. Brian Godawa is a screenwriter in Southern California. You can read Brian Godawa's movie blog, see what he has been seeing, what he has to say about it, at www.godawa.com. It's www.godawa.com. He's author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. Thanks for being our guest, Brian.
Thank you, Todd.
Well, when we come back from this break, we've got audio open lines for your questions and for your comments. We're going to start out with a CNN report. And the report says that Christian conservatives are growing in their dissatisfaction with the Republican Party. I want to hear from you. After we listen to this little package from CNN on the other side of the break, are you among those who are the subject of this story? Are you among those who are disappointed with the GOP? Have you given up on the Republican Party? Especially with the sex scandals and the trouble that seems to be beleaguering GOP lawmakers. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Feel free to email us here in the studio as we come to you live this Wednesday afternoon, the 11th of October, issues ETC at KFUO.org, issues ETC at KFUO.org. Audio Open Lines is next. We'll be right back.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Kim Troby. The White House sponsored a summit yesterday to discuss an appropriate response to the latest spate of school violence. The Department of Education, the Justice Department, and several private sector groups were on hand. Steve Jordahl reports that while the government has a role in securing schools, one group is enlisting the help of an underused resource, fathers.
The summit featured three panels that spoke on ways to secure our schools and, more importantly, our kids. Department of Education spokeswoman Holly Kuzmich was there.
The first two panels were about prevention and preparedness and making sure that our schools think about putting together emergency crisis plans and talk to folks in their community.
The third panel spoke about recovery and coping with violence in our schools. The takeaway from the summit? Kids need positive adult role models.
There's no method to the madness. It's just being involved.
One group is taking that admonition to heart. Watchdogs asks fathers to patrol school halls and spend time with the students. Peter Spokes heads the organization.
Visiting classrooms, walking around the perimeter of the school, checking the hallways. Sometimes they get assigned real tough duty and have the opportunity to eat four school lunches with the kids. They're not charged with discipline or with taking on any challenging situations, but rather to report them.
Tom Howell took the challenge. It had the added benefit of bringing him and his kids closer together.
It amazed me how my kids like to see me at school. You know, and the kids are our best recruiters. You know, they'll see a dad at school and they'll go home and, "Dad, when are you going to be a watchdog?"
That kind of respect from your kids is enough to take you to a completely different kind of summit. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
More than 400 schools in 35 states are participating in the Watchdogs program, sponsored by the National Center for Fathering. You can find additional resources online at fathers.com/watchdogs. For Family News in Focus, I'm Kim Troby.
Dining with Sinners. That's what happens every Sunday at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. The Lord Jesus himself comes and spreads his banquet table before us, sinners, not a target group of professionals, but sinners in need of the one thing that only he can give, the forgiveness that he won for us at the cross. Christian, seeker, unbeliever, it doesn't matter. All those who are burdened by their sin and hungry for God's forgiveness are invited to visit Bethany Lutheran Church, 5600 Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights.
It is true that the doctrine of the Trinity is something of a mystery, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't teach it to our young children. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is titled The Apostles' Creed. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. The Apostles' Creed costs $9.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. The Apostles' Creed.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next hour, we've got audio open lines for your questions and your comments. And the first thing we're going to be playing for you here in a minute or two is a CNN story on Christian conservatives and their growing dissatisfaction with the Republican Party. I've got a question after we hear that, and I want to hear from you, your answers to this question. Do you agree with CNN? Do you agree with what appears to be the prevailing wisdom, at least the broad prevailing wisdom in the political landscape, less than a month out from midterm elections? People are saying, the Republicans aren't going to be able to count on Christian conservatives or evangelicals the way that they could in the past. Maybe some of them will stay home. Maybe some of them might even cross party lines and generally disillusioned with the GOP vote someplace else. Are you among them? If you are disappointed with the Republican Party, why? I want to hear from you. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. If you're not, I still want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. As time permits, a little bit later in the program, we'll hear a CBS report on a radical Islamic relief organization that is offering aid to the victims of last year's earthquake in Pakistan. There's a Reuters story about some Islamists in Somalia who are announcing a holy war on the West. And this is somewhat interesting. In Great Britain, there's an elected official who said something negative about Muslim women wearing head veils. And he might even lose an election over this. One quarter of his voters are Muslim women. But before we get to all that, here's a story from CNN. Will the Republicans be able to count on Christian conservatives when it comes time to vote in November? The story's from CNN. The reporter is Mary Snow.
Is what I need. how conservative is this northern tip of the Bible Belt?
When I find a Democrat, a liberal within this area, it just blows me away.
So it may come as quite a shock that incumbent Republican Congresswoman Thelma Drake is in a tough re-election battle against Democrat challenger Phil Kellum. And that was before the Mark Foley scandal. Last week, Kellum's campaign began re-airing these ads about protecting kids from sexual content on the Internet.
As a father of two, Phil Kellum knows protecting our children is more difficult than ever.
Drake says she doesn't think the fallout over Foley will affect her.
Certainly, because Mark Foley did something wrong doesn't mean that Thelma Drake had anything to do with that. I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother.
Her Democratic challenger disagrees, saying Foley symbolizes what's wrong with Washington.
And certainly people that I talk to at work, in church, around the community are concerned about this. They're concerned about this culture of corruption in Washington.
But Kellum also might receive help from the most unlikely of places, dissatisfied Christian conservatives here, those like Pat Diffley, who's retired from the Marine Corps.
I think the current administration in the White House and some of the things that Congress has done is not necessarily forwarded conservative values.
While Diffley says he'll still vote Republican, there are others among this conservative community who aren't so sure.
Probably will end up voting Republican as long as I don't see anything else that's come up.
And it's the undecided Christian conservative voters that Republicans worry about. Republican strategists say the fear is that this voting bloc, which is crucial to Republicans, will send a message by not voting at all. Mary Snow, CNN, Norfolk, Virginia.
All right, do you agree or disagree with CNN when they say it may be difficult in some sectors for the GOP to count on Christian conservatives going and voting for the Republican Party? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I want to hear from you. Is CNN right or wrong? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Are you disappointed with the GOP? Have you given up? Do you plan on staying home or perhaps even crossing party lines? And if you are disappointed, and I do want to hear from you, what are your specific issues? What are the issues that most upset you? The issues that were raised there in that CNN piece were all very general. They were talking to Christian conservatives who were saying, you know, I just don't think Washington's pushed my values. Let's get more specific than that if you have reason to be concerned. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's audio open lines, live this Wednesday, the 11th of October. And our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's start with Jeff, who calls from his car. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Pastor. I just wanted to say I'm still going to vote Republican. This whole Foley thing really... It doesn't matter. I mean, it's important and everything, but that's a congressman down there in Florida. The whole thing that matters to me is the court, pro-life. If another judge retires and we didn't have a Republican majority and we couldn't get a good judge through, that would just be the worst thing that could happen. So I think we're one judge away from a pro-life majority of some sort, maybe.
Okay, then, Jeff, real quick question before I let you go. What, if anything, would it take for you to, as the CNN piece put it, to give up on the GOP?
Well, in the past, there's been talk of pro-choice presidential nominees. They've never won, but if one did, I would be out like that.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeff.
All right. Thank you.
Jeff starts us off there. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. CNN speculates that the GOP may not be able to count on Christian conservatives this time around. Are they right or are they wrong, or are you among those who are disappointed? Let's talk with Ron, who calls from his car. Hi, Ron.
Hi. How are you?
Very well.
Now, our family is... We voted Democrat for years, and the last two elections, we voted a Republican ticket in hopes that the Christian morals would be upheld. And we are very, very disappointed. We're very disappointed with the entire Republican group, and we'll probably go back to a Democrat vote again.
So your reason for voting Republican and GOP in the first place had to do with Christian morals being promoted at the highest level, and you didn't see that happen.
I've seen just the opposite. I really have, and I'm sorry to say that. I've seen, I feel we've been lied to, and almost everything, you know. I think the abortion issue could have been addressed a lot stronger. I think we could have been told the truth about Iraq, and now we're saying, well, he did it too. What kind of a defense is he did it too?
Ron, thank you very much for the call. So Ron is one of those who is a disaffected Christian who does not plan, or at least is thinking seriously about not voting GOP this time around. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jack's calling from his car. Jack, welcome.
How you doing?
Very well.
Well, I don't think I could ever support the Democratic platforms that they have. One, I think the single biggest issue we've got to worry about is the terrorists that are striving to wipe out our country. And I think the Republicans, the Democrats have shown their lack of courage to handle that issue. And then the other is the economic issue. And the Democrats are leaning very hard towards socialism, and that just doesn't work. So,
Jack, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Jeff before. What would it take, if anything, to disappoint you with the GOP to the extent that you'd consider not voting?
I would never consider not voting. I think that's our responsibility as a citizen. I think it's our responsibility as Christians.
Okay, Jack, thank you very much. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Up next is Tim, who calls from his car. Tim, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. I really don't believe that the Lord has, a horse in the race on any of these elections. As far as the way I discern these things, I think these politicians are all just part of a system that's corrupt, and they're bought and paid for. And they're plastic and phony on TV. And the only Christian I've ever voted for is Larry Rice. I'm tired of voting for people I know they go against my principles. I voted for Democrats because I just see Republicans as being totally corrupt. But the moral things that the Democrats support, I can't support them again.
So how are you going to vote, Tim, when November rolls around here?
I think the only thing you can do is protest. I think the system's corrupt. I think it's the world. The Lord again does not have a big stake in politics. I don't believe. I think these people are users and abusers.
All right, Tim. Thank you. I would agree with him, at least on the face of it. God doesn't have a horse in the race, and God is neither a Republican or a Democrat. Now, people tend to be, at least in this country, in a two-party system, generally speaking, Republican or Democrat. CNN says that given what's been going on in Washington lately in the last several months, that Christian conservatives, the very backbone of the GOP's base, may be disappointed enough to stay home. Do you agree or disagree? Tina's calling from her car. Hi, Tina.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
I just wanted to comment on the hypocrisy that the Democrats are showing. These are people that openly promote a gay lifestyle, gay marriage, and when this erupts in their own backyard, they seem outraged.
Okay, now that is the reason why you wouldn't be voting Democratic. So are you telling me you are not among the disaffected or the disappointed with the GOP? What would it take to disappoint you with the GOP?
I can't think of a thing.
So you would vote for them regardless of what issues they have?
I think that John Shimkus and the rest of the people that have been involved in this or brought into it are telling people exactly what happened. They knew of something. They didn't react to it because they trusted their colleague.
Okay, but laying aside the Foley scandal in particular, more generally, Tina, what has the Republican-controlled executive and legislative branches done on, say, the issue of gay marriage?
They've fought it.
How so?
Well, they've debated against it. There have been a lot of states that have tried to abolish it and fought it.
Tina, thank you very much for the call. Uh-huh. Okay, so I don't think, I hope I didn't misunderstand her, but it sounded like she was saying there's really nothing that the GOP could do to disappoint her. Now, maybe she was just talking about the Foley scandal. She might have just been talking narrowly about that. Let's see what Tony has to say. He's listening in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Tony, thanks for listening down there. Welcome. Tony, welcome to Issues, Etc. No, Tony. Let's see what Tasha has to say, who's calling from St. Louis. Tasha, welcome to Issues, Etc. Oh,
hello to you. How you doing?
Very well.
I vote Republican, but November the 7th, I think I'm going to be voting Democrat because I'm very disappointed in the GOP party altogether.
What is it specifically that has disappointed you, Tasha?
This war on Iraq, this Foley case. I mean, it's just so much corruption in the party, and I thought that this party stood for family values and all the right things, and I've just seen so many horrible things that I've ever seen in my whole 34 years here on Earth. And so I just can't see myself voting for a Republican.
Tasha, thank you. There's one who's disappointed, just like CNN says. Marty calls from his car. Marty, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor Todd. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good.
Well, I have to say I'm not pleased with the GOP over the past 8 years or so. But, you know, back in '90, I fell for it. You know, I went on the Ross Perot tip, and the Republicans were saying, look, a vote for Ross Perot was a vote for Bill Clinton. And you know what? They were right. And I'm not pleased with the Republican ticket altogether, but they come the closest to supporting issues that I'm certainly in favor of. And also, they at least stand in defense of some of the moral issues that I find, you know, absolutely reprehensible. Point blank, Claire McCaskill, John Danforth, drawing up this, I don't know what to call it, Pastor, this Amendment 2.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can't support a party that you have a couple of people draw things up like that. And I'm sorry. I used to do the DNC years and years ago, but I can't follow that party anymore. And I can't, you know, the GOP, I'm old enough to know there's no such thing as a perfect party, but I have to stay with the GOP, even though there's always going to be corruption. But at least I think I have a foothold, and I believe that I have a voice in this party.
All right, Marty, thank you very much. Now, I would point out that Jack Danforth is a Republican, and he's been out, I think it's fair to say, he's been the quarterback on the team for Amendment 2 in Missouri. Kathy calls from St. Charles. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. We've always had a tendency to vote Republican, although there was a time I did vote for an independent. But I am struggling with the Republican Party because of moral and social issues. I have a son with special needs, and while the Republicans encourage life generally from conception, with certain exceptions, unfortunately, for some politicians, they don't seem to want to help you with that life once you've had it. And I think they are part of the culture of death in our country, and part of the reason we have people like Terry Schindler Shivo's, you know, where it seems more humane to put someone like that, you know, in a situation where they are not able to, you know, get the therapy and the help that they need so they can improve. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's my concern. The Republicans in the state of Missouri have been the ones to cut social services for people who are disabled and have balanced the budget on the back of the disabled and have cut respite and other programs to help families care long-term for these issues. And the problem is, medically in our country, we can help people with disabilities live a long life, but there is no social service to help families deal with the long life and these long-term care issues.
Hey, Kathy, real quickly, are you disappointed enough at this point to change, or are you still saying, okay, lesser of two evils, I'm going to go ahead and vote Republican? Are you among those that CNN's talking about?
I might change, because in God's eyes, is it worse to kill the disabled or the disenfranchised before they're born, or to try to kill them after they're born?
Kathy, thank you for the call. It's Audio Open Lines this Wednesday, October the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Simple question. CNN says that there are Christian conservatives out there that may not be voting or maybe switching parties because they're disaffected by the GOP. GOP may not be able to count on them. Do you agree or disagree? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, we will get to your email here in just a moment. Issues, etc@kfuo.org. First, let's go to Claire in High Ridge. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Todd. My opinion is that we're all sinners, and the broadcasters that are talking to us about all these polls are actually trying to be propagandists to make us think their way as opposed to making us make a decision. But people are forgetting about Bill Clinton and what went on during his administration and the things that ethically went wrong there. And I just say to remind people, you know, you're on the Foley kick. What about Bill Clinton? Nobody kicked him out of office. Nobody made everybody, you know, forget about that.
All right,
but
Claire,
I'm behind the president in regard to his measures that he's trying to do in regard to pro-life as well as marriage and his way of handling terrorists, and I have to support him because I have a family member who's in the military trying to defend this country from the evils that are around the world. But a reminder about Bill Clinton, a lot of us had to pay higher taxes, had less money in the bank, couldn't afford things when the Democrats were in office, where we have been able to maybe do a little bit better while we've had Republicans.
All right, Claire, thank you very much. She laid out a whole bunch of issues there. Apparently not disappointed with the GOP, like CNN says. By the way, if we're going to say that CNN is pushing its opinion through these polls, we do have to say the same thing about, say, the conservative talk radio. They're doing their hardest job to try and sway people's opinions. Don't think they're not trying to sway people's opinions. They are. They admit it. Everyone is in the other direction. So let's be fair with all of the media in all of its various manifestations. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That in-studio email address, issues@kfuo.org. Here's Phil. He calls from his car. Phil, welcome. All right, that's not Phil, but perhaps Phil, you there? No. All right. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Neither of one of those was Phil, but this is Jerry from South County. Jerry, welcome. Jerry's on line four there, if you would. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. Thanks. As far as voting, the anti-biblical platform of the Democratic Party, such as pro-gay marriage, and are pro-gay adoptions and pro-abortion, or as they call it, pro-choice. This is a platform that a true Christian believer must reject. And you have to vote another party, whatever your protest vote for a third party or vote Republican. And also, this Rep. Mark Foley, his actions towards those congressional pages, that is an abomination, and everyone rejects that. But that's not part of the Republican Party platform. You can't base it.
Jerry, thank you for raising the issue of the platform, because I was thinking about that before, and thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, people say, look, let's just look at the platforms. And I agree, there's a time and a place to look at the platforms, but then there's a time and a place to take that platform and compare it to what's actually occurred. And I just want to remind you for a moment, I'm not stating an opinion, I'm simply playing devil's advocate. We have had the better part of the last 8 years with the executive and legislative branches of our governments controlled, even marginally, but controlled by the GOP. And what has occurred on the pro-life front or the gay marriage front, you might argue that we're better off than we would have been under other circumstances. However, the platform always is a goal, and many people would say, well, has the GOP reached its platform goal? It's not a starting place. It's a goal for any political party. Here's Phil calling from his car. Phil, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It just seems to me that a lot of this disappointment that I'm hearing in the government is a misunderstanding of what government's for.
Okay.
It also seems like the church is supposed to be helping the people out, not the government. I mean, where in the Bible does it say that the government's supposed to take care of us?
Phil, thank you very much for the call. Okay, maybe that's reference to Kathy's call. Well, I don't know that in the Bible it says any place where the government is supposed to take care of us, although we do have it in our Constitution. I mean, depending on how you want to read, promote the general welfare. That's a very broad way of thinking, but it doesn't necessarily mean the welfare state, but it does mean that government has a purpose. At least the Constitution in the preamble says that part of this government, we the people, has the purpose of promoting the general welfare. Now, you can argue about how that should be done, but it is in the Constitution. I don't know if it's in the Bible. Paul is emailing us, and he writes this: those who vote one party or the other by quote-unquote heritage and not by what they see historically and currently are not informed voters. Paul, thank you very much for that email. What about the rest of you? Our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in number, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I think it's been split 50-50, don't you, Jeff? You think it's been split about 50-50 among the callers here of people who say, I'm disaffected at some level or another, or I'm not disaffected. We've had a couple, like I think it was Marty, who said, look, in essence, I'm choosing the lesser of two evils, and I always will be. Jane's calling from Arnold. Hi, Jane. Jane, welcome.
Am I on? Okay, hi, Ted. My husband and I have been doing a pretty extensive study on Islam, the beliefs, and how Osama bin Laden came about. And the only party that is doing anything to protect us, although I'm not 100%, you know, thrilled, you know, with the Republican Party, but our president didn't lie to us about Iraq. You know, the terrorists are there. They were there. And I mean, they're the only ones that are doing anything for us. And believe me, I think that apathy and ignorance of, I don't mean ignorant people, but ignorance of how Islam is going to be the ruin of us, so that we can't spread the gospel and we can't, you know, share our kids.
Okay, Jane, I understand what you're saying. And while I think I can probably affirm most of what you said there, and thank you for the call, I would remind everybody that it is our Republican president who seems to, at least publicly, I don't know about privately because I don't know what he thinks or believes privately, but at least publicly, betray a profound misunderstanding of Islam to the degree, and if you want to hear the audio, I've got it down on my computer, to the degree that he continues to affirm, every time asked, that Islam and Christianity worship the same God. That, to me, is a very profound misunderstanding of Islam. Now, if you're going to talk about the danger of Islam as an element in geopolitics, there he seems to have a better grasp. Yes, you're right, James. It's audio open lines. It's going to continue right after this break, and this break is a good time to call. CNN says that Christian conservatives might be so disappointed in these midterm elections coming up in less than a month that, golly, they might not even vote. Are you among them? Do you agree or disagree? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And as time permits, amidst your phone calls and your email, we'll hear a CBS News report on a radical Islamic relief organization. Yes, an Islamic relief organization that is offering aid to the victims of last year's earthquake in Pakistan. In a related story with regard to Islam, in Somalia, Islamists have recently announced jihad, a bona fide holy war against the West. Stay tuned.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.